Smart litigators find winning arguments faster with Bloomberg Law. Our market-leading docket coverage has AI-driven search and analytics, customized alerts, and expanded state court coverage. And that's not all. Visit pro.bloomberglaw.com for everything you need to win.
Welcome to Cases and Controversies, a Supreme Court podcast by Bloomberg Law. I'm Kimberly Robinson.
And I'm Lydia Wheeler. The U.S. Supreme Court is hearing several significant cases during its final sitting of the current term, including another abortion dispute and former President Trump's claim that he is immune from criminal prosecution related to his efforts to overturn the 2020 election.
But today we wanted to highlight another case that I think at any other term would really be big news, but in this one has gone largely under the radar. And that case is Grants Pass versus Johnson, a challenge to an Oregon town's laws prohibiting sleeping in public. Joining us to talk about the case is Antonia Fasanelli, the executive director of the National Homeless Law Center, which filed an amicus brief in the case. Or you guys actually filed a couple of amicus briefs in the case. Is that right?
We filed a brief on behalf of the National Homelessness Law Center, and we were truly honored to coordinate the filing of over 40 other amicus briefs representing many, many organizations across the country and individuals, including individuals with lived experience, all stating that the Constitution protects the rights of unhoused people when they have no place to go.
All right. Well, let's start sort of at the beginning. Can you give us a little background and tell listeners about how this case came about?
Absolutely. So let's go to Grants Pass, Oregon. Grants Pass is a small town in rural Oregon, a population of just under 40,000 people. And Grants Pass experienced really significant population growth over a 20-year period. It actually doubled in size, but it did not double the supply of housing in that community. And as a result, the cost of housing went up considerably. So as a result, when residents of Grants Pass were losing their housing, they truly had no place to go but to sleep in public, to set up as safe a tent as they could, because they really had no apartment and no shelter to go to. The response of the elected officials in Grants Pass was not to do what a lot of communities do, which is to open public emergency shelter. Their response was actually to pass laws allowing the city to issue fines to unhoused people sleeping in public. Those fines were in the range of about $300 and compounded. And so over time, many unhoused residents found that they incurred fines literally in the thousands of dollars. This situation ultimately led to the Oregon Law Center representing a number of unhoused folks in Grants Pass, namely Gloria Johnson, whose name is the center of this case, John Logan, and Deborah Blake.
But before we dig into the case, a lot of the amicus briefs actually discuss the impacts of homelessness both on those who are experiencing it and on the community. Can you tell us about some of those impacts?
Absolutely. So unquestionably, experiencing homelessness, particularly in a community like Grants Pass, is incredibly hard. You're talking about a community that experiences extreme weather. Sleeping outside in the cold in the winter is not only difficult, it is very, very hard on one's health. And this is certainly a situation that unhoused residents do not want to be in. And we know that housing is absolutely the solution to homelessness.
So you said that Grants Pass had done something different from a lot of other communities that have, you know, really put money towards increasing housing. How common are laws like the ones in Grants Pass?
So we certainly have seen over the last 15 years an increase in laws punishing unhoused people. But unquestionably, these laws are not effective in doing much of anything. At the same time that we have seen an increased number of these laws passed. We have seen an increased number of unhoused people. So homelessness is on the rise, just as these number of laws are on the rise. In contrast, in communities that have prioritized the provision of affordable housing, we have seen major decreases in homelessness. So for example, in a major city like Houston that prioritized housing for its unhoused residents, they saw an over 60% decrease in homelessness because of that prioritization. Miami similarly saw over a 90% decrease in homelessness after a court ruled that the city of Miami could not punish unhoused people and could not put them in jail.
Are there a lot of other states, though, or cities that are trying to punish homelessness in the same way that Grants Pass was trying to do? Like, what is this? Are the solutions super varied?
Well, what's unique about Grants Pass is that Grants Pass did not have any public shelter. So a lot of cities across the country do provide shelter or some shelter for their residents. But what's very clear in this case and in cases like it is if there is not a sufficient supply of shelter, even if you do have a public shelter, but you don't have enough shelter beds for all the residents, the current decisions say that you cannot punish residents unless you provide enough space for them.
Well, that really leads into my next question, because, you know, when I started to look at this case and I saw that it was an Eighth Amendment challenge, it at first blush, it didn't really seem to fit, at least not in the cases that I traditionally think about or that the court hears about. So can you tell us how the Eighth Amendment comes into play here?
Sure. So it's worth mentioning that. So the question before the court is whether the cruel and unusual punishment provision of the Eighth Amendment protects unhoused people who have no place else to go. And really, at the root of that question is it constitutional to punish people who literally have no choice but to violate a local law in this case? And that really is fundamental what the cruel and unusual punishment clause is about. It's about making sure that you do not punish people who do not have a choice. In this case, originally, at the trial level, there were also claims under the excessive fines and fees provision of the Eighth Amendment as well. And the trial court found that the Grants Pass law was also unconstitutional under that provision. The appellate court, the Ninth Circuit, did not reach that question because they found that the law was unconstitutional under the cruel and unusual punishment provisions. And so that cruel and unusual punishment provision is the only question before the Supreme Court.
Some are making a distinction between the status of homelessness and the involuntary conduct as a result of that status. You know, the city's briefs talk about this by likening it to prohibiting the use of drugs by addicts or prohibiting public intoxication by people who are drunk and or prohibiting child pornography for pedophiles. I guess, do you see that as a valid distinction?
We do not. So as we've discussed before, homelessness is caused by essentially a housing crisis, the lack of affordable housing in a particular community. It is not caused by any one person's individual actions. And therefore, the residents here in Grants Pass, and in fact, the definition of the class in this case is the population of persons who are involuntarily homeless. These are folks who lost their home and are unable to obtain housing because there is not enough affordable housing in this community.
One of the other, you know, arguments that we see a lot, particularly in the amicus briefs on the other side, is that the judiciary is sort of meddling in what should otherwise be a policy decision. And I'm just wondering what your response is to that. I mean, what should the role of the judiciary be here?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because actually the Law Center's brief really speaks to this. So historically, it is the Supreme Court that has ultimately stepped in when elected officials and state and local legislatures have sought to remove and otherize populations of persons. There's a long history in this country of mistreating populations of persons who go through a period of being disfavored by society. So this certainly includes laws that have mistreated persons of color, but it also includes at different times persons with disabilities, impoverished persons, etc. And frankly, this law is just building on that awful, awful precedent that we have in this country. And indeed, it is the Supreme Court that ultimately has stepped in and said, no, those kinds of laws are unconstitutional.
Now, the United States has actually filed a brief in support of neither party in this case. You know, they seem to be taking sort of a middle ground. So can you explain what their position is? And, you know, do you think that it's an administrable one?
So the brief of the United States really states that the Eighth Amendment absolutely applies in this case. And it applies because the residents of Grants Pass literally had no other option but to sleep in public because there was no public shelter available to them. And that, frankly, is the most important part of that brief that speaks to the central question before the Supreme Court in this case. There are other parts of that brief that speak to a request to remand the case back to the Ninth Circuit and even to the trial court regarding issues in the way that the class was certified in this case. And it may be that the Supreme Court decides to rule more on that procedural ground. But although the U.S. did file this brief in support of neither party, it is so important to emphasize that the brief itself, and certainly the opening part of the brief really speaks to this, is absolutely in support that in the circumstances of this case, where Grants Pass residents, unhoused residents, had nowhere to go, they absolutely get the protection of the Eighth Amendment, because that's what the Cruel and Unusual Punishment Clause is protecting against.
So I don't know if you feel this way, too, but I feel like the justices, particularly recently, have had relatively few Eighth Amendment cases, particularly as compared to like something like the First Amendment, right? Or now even the Second Amendment we're seeing. Are there particular justices that you're watching? Are there any just real unknowns about how they think about the Eighth Amendment and, you know, sort of what it's intended to do, what its reach should be?
Well, I'll put it this way. This is the first case the Supreme Court has taken up on homelessness in 40 years. The Supreme Court really hasn't chosen to take cases on homelessness and, in fact, denied cert in a case back in 2018, very similar case. So this is the first time that it is reaching the Supreme Court. Fundamentally, although we do not know how the court is going to rule, we do know this. There's only one solution to homelessness. It is housing. And this is an issue of national importance. And it is so critical that we recognize that housing is the ultimate solution. And until communities start to provide this particular tool, they cannot punish their way out of the reality that they have a population of unhoused people in their community.
Can you talk about the ramifications of this case, though? I mean, what if the court sides with the city here?
So if the court finds that unhoused people are not deserved of the protection of the U.S. Constitution, which we certainly hope does not happen, the reality is that we fear that local communities will be emboldened in their efforts to punish unhoused people. That really would have horrific consequences. There's no question that continuing to punish unhoused people is actually only going to increase homelessness. When you punish unhoused people, it makes it more difficult for people to move into housing because having a record of fines or a criminal record can often serve as an absolute bar to being able to move into housing. It really could have far-reaching consequences if elected officials do not pivot and start to support more legislation to expand the supply of affordable housing.
I think that's going to do it for our interview with you. That was really helpful. Thank you so much for walking us through this case and what's at stake. We really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for covering this.
All right, this case is going to be pretty interesting. Just I feel like there's so many threads to pull on this case. We didn't even get into a lot of the part about, the actual Eighth Amendment, and there's all these distinctions about, prohibiting punishments versus crime. So
right, and I think this is one that a lot of cities are thinking about, especially this issue with people who are unhoused. I'm thinking San Francisco comes to mind, and I know that there are a lot of other states pondering or have already proposed similar legislation. So
yeah, it's really the amicus briefs really combine a lot of odd bedfellows, with red and blue led jurisdictions. We saw Gavin Newsom file a brief in the case, formally in support of neither party, but really in support of the city. And it's just, really interesting. Like I said, there are just so many different ways that you can view this.
Right. And since this is an issue that, as Antonia already said, that doesn't come before the court very often, it's hard to, I think, read where the justices are going to fall on this. So I think it's just going to be a really interesting argument.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. You can follow along with all the latest Supreme Court news at news.bloomberglaw.com.
Finding relevant docket filings is crucial to winning your case. That's why Bloomberg Law is here to help you pinpoint winning arguments faster than before. Our best-in-class docket coverage just got better with enhanced AI-driven search and analytics, lightning-fast customized alerts, and expanded state court coverage. And we've substantially increased our litigation news coverage, so you'll never miss a beat. Don't miss the tools smart litigators rely on. Visit pro.bloomberglaw.com today and get everything you need to secure big wins.